last year, he had back surgery, which turned into a far more difficult problem. That one was remedied by the surgery, but he found out that his liver was quite diseased and no longer functioning very well. They started the transplant surgery this morning at 4 o'clock at MCD. It's going to be 8-10 hours, so probably they're just finishing up. I know Kathy and Bill and their family would appreciate very much to continue to remember him and pray for him. He'll have a long recovery. They expect a year's worth of very strong medicines to try to get the liver to his body to accept the liver, so it will be quite a process here, and uncertain as to whether his body will accept it. So I know they would appreciate very much your prayer for him. Well, in Bible class, I said several things about the subject. One is that there have been many such presentations as these on Why I'm Not a Christian, for example, by agnostics, atheists. One that I have a copy of is by Bertrand Russell from 1927, in which he denounced Christianity and Jesus Christ in a very strong message in London, England, and the National Society, Secular Society of London. And he, like many others, gave their reasons for not being a Christian. And to counter that, apologists to Christians have, on the other hand, given reasons why they are not an atheist, and thereby giving reasons for being a Christian. I want you to know that there's no mystery, no difficulty about this subject, and that there is no real conclusion as if, well, we're not sure, we're filled with uncertainty and doubt about it. There's no such thing in Scripture as that. But everywhere there is the assurance of the reality of God. The Hebrew writer said, without faith it is impossible to please Him.
Yes, sir.
For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.
Amen.
If you want an easy way to remember that passage, with three R's, here they are. He that comes to God must believe. The first one is required. Something is required. You must believe that He is. That He is real. That's the second R. And that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him.
Amen.
So it's a very easy way to remember that great passage and what it teaches for us today. There are many powerful and good reasons for being a believer and for not being an atheist. The Scriptures say that the fool said in his heart. That's not a curse word. It is a statement about a man not being wise and not observing properly his own life, his own existence, and the world about him. The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, Paul said in Romans chapter 1. Being understood by the things that are made. And so here's the created world round about, and so those that reject God, the Bible says, they are without excuse. In Romans chapter 1, verse 20. I don't know which way to point this. Let me see. Which way did I point? Either way? Yes. Those are the reasons we gave in the Bible Hour. Just have a few of these images so that just by the image itself you can get the point here. Number one, I'm not an atheist because they must take a leap of faith. What I'm doing here is reversing what they say about us. They say that Christianity, you must then take a big jump, like you're jumping across the Grand Canyon. You got to jump across a great abyss with no support underneath you. That's not the case. There is no such thing in Scripture as a leap of faith without a foundation under you.
Amen.
Faith is based upon evidence. And you shouldn't believe anything without solid evidence for it. But they are the ones who must take a leap of faith because there's nothing there, no foundation upon which they stand. And They therefore are basing it upon this one catchphrase, that they believe that evolution is a matter of fact. And they're talking about macro, M-A-C-R-O, big evolution, not changes within a kind. So here they are making a leap of faith. And what's going to happen is they're going to fall off cliff here. And so I'm not an atheist because I don't want to jump off into the Grand Canyon. I want a solid foundation under me. I think we misuse the word faith. I think we use it to mean, well, it's just something I believe. But I don't have any evidence for it. I believe that so-and-so shot John F. Kennedy. Do you have any proof? What is your evidence? Where are the eyewitnesses? Where is the forensic evidence? Well, don't have any. I just believe that such and such Russian shot John F. Kennedy. That's not biblical faith.
Right.
Biblical faith is based upon evidence. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Now, this is a good picture to explain evolution. You notice that there are three images here. There's a man, and there's this gorilla, chimpanzee or something, and then there are trees in the background. Now, I put all three of these in that image because all three are involved in their doctrine of evolution. Do you know that if you were to go on university campuses, this has been done, by the way, and it is documented on an interesting DVD for you to see if you'll ask me about it, where college professors in the field of science were asked, do you believe that living human beings and animals came from plants and trees, from banana trees? And they said yes. So there are two types of things in existence. Animate and inanimate. Inanimate are things that don't move. Non-living, like a rock. But then there are living things. And then there are different categories of living things. There's the plant world, the trees, the flowers, the grasses. And then there's man and animal. And what they believe is that there is a process by which man now has come full circle and that he now is the height of this doctrine of evolution. And here's one of their reasons for believing. If you notice these two here in the foreground, that this fellow on the left, he has an ear, doesn't he? And the man on the other side, he has an ear. And this gorilla, he has a nose and a mouth. And he has hair and skin. And so does the man over there. So they look very similar, don't they? And they will say to you, well, the similarity itself proves there's a connection between the two, and the man evolved from the animal. And so one of the things you have to answer is, why is it that animals have ears, and they have lungs, they have hearts, they have limbs to emulate? So why is it that we look so much alike? Do you know the answer to that? The answer is that we share the same world. We live in the same environment where there's water and trees and food. And you must be able to move from one place to another. Because we share a similar environment, you must be able to move about, you must be able to breathe, you must be able to eat, you must be able to feel. And so we are similar because we share the same world in which we live. Doesn't mean at all that one came from the other. Well, that's an interesting image I found. And of course, they got the picture of Charles Darwin there's head and on an animal. And Charles Darwin is just one of a long list of evolutionists. By the way, he wasn't an atheist. He believed in God. The last chapter in The Origin of Species, published in 1859, states that he believes that the Creator made all living things and that they evolved into higher forms. So it's a theistic evolutionary view that he presented. Charles Darwin wasn't an atheist. And yet today, he's the one they look to. He's the one that they follow. Charles Darwin, over and over. And not a good man to follow if you're going to be a hardcore atheist, because he wasn't. And he very reluctantly, quickly published the book that he did, because someone else was about to beat him to it. And here's an image you might find if you're a student in high school or in college. And that is this progression here from animal forms and the skeleton form to man all the way on the right-hand side. And they look a lot, don't they? Except one's got longer arms, and one's kind of bent over, one's got a different size skull, and then you finally get the man over here. But you know what's missing in that picture? What comes on the left-hand side of it? And what goes on the right-hand side of it? That's what's missing. Why didn't they put what's over here on the left-hand side? They want you to see it. They wanted you to think, by looking at that, hey, they look alike. But does a man look like a banana tree?
No.
Does he look like a rock? So they left out a lot of stuff here. They just simply didn't want to tell us about it. And what they left out, too, is nothing. Here's the whole story of atheism. They believe that the universe came out of nothing. We've covered that in the Bible class. And out of seven boxes, with box number one being the beginning, there's nothing in it. Nothing. Zero. And in box number seven is where we are today with the great universe in which you and I live. But Lawrence Krauss is a well-known modern atheist today, the afterword by Richard Dawkins, one of the leading voices in evolution today in America. And there's the book titled A Universe from Nothing. Now, is it scientific to believe that something came out of nothing? Is it scientific to believe that this table came out of thin air? We know where it came from. Something cannot come out of nothing. That is the least scientific thing that a fellow could ever believe. There are the boxes, and I'll not go through those again, but I do not let unbelievers get out of box number one. Box number one is nothing in it, and from nothing comes nothing. Do you know what science teaches? Biogenesis. Living things come from living things. Atheist believes in biogenesis. That living things can come from non-living things. And that non-living things can come out of nothing. That's their view. That's their teaching. Well, this is their big problem. This is what we covered just the last hour, of how you move about from box one all the way to box seven. And here they are named, box 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Could you possibly, without intelligence, move from a box that has nothing in it to box number 7 where you have the present world? Absolutely not. So that's the great dilemma for evolutionists and atheists. And they want to say that the world began with a big bang. Well, who lit the fuse? Where did the match come from? What kind of materials exploded? And how do you get an entire universe, the world in which we live, out of something that exploded? By the way, why don't we have another explosion? Why did it just happen one time? If we have another one within the universe, it might blow this one apart. The Big Bang doesn't explain it. By the way, you may not be aware of this, but atheists believe in aliens. Did you know that? It's amazing that they cannot believe in God, but they believe in these three-eyed monsters. And that's a little misrepresenting their view. They believe this. This is what Stephen Hawking said. He said that when those aliens come, and they're coming, he said, don't kid yourself, they're going to come. Sure. And he said, we're going to look like little pieces of bacteria compared to the intelligent life that's out there. We're going to look like nothing. Really? What's that based on? Has he seen one of these things? Are they really that smart? Do they really exist? He is presently today talking and writing that there are aliens out there, and that's the only salvation for our planet, is for aliens to come down here and take over.
Yeah.
That's a strange position. Can't believe in God, but you can believe in aliens. E.T., extraterrestrials, atheist and alien. That's why I'm not an atheist. Because their doctrine is so confused. And they cannot give a consistent answer to the question about life. Well, atheists have exclusive claims. And they think the dinosaur belongs to them. Mm-hmm. And they don't want you to have it. And they want to picture us as not believing in dinosaurs. We do. I do. Skeleton remains of them are in museums. There they are for you to see. And we'd sure be out of place to deny that they're real. But they think just the fact that they've drawn this picture here, which I wouldn't argue with, because the skeletal remains make these various images, they much the way they have them pictured in books. But you can't just look at this picture and say, aha, evolution must be true. God doesn't exist because this fellow exists. Somebody might ask this question, which would be good. Why don't you have the word dinosaur in the Bible? Well, there's a reason for that. The reason for it is it's a Greek word, two Greek words combined, meaning terrible lizard. And it was coined in the 1840s. So it's a very recent word. What words are there in the Bible? Well, behemoth, that's one. Leviathan?
Yeah.
That's another?
Yeah.
Those are Hebrew words. So there's a reason why the word dinosaur is in the Bible. By the way, there's a museum in Petersburg, Kentucky. Creation Museum, established by an Australian apologist, Christian believer named Ken Ham, if you've seen him on television. They are presently building a life-size ark in, I believe it's Williamston, Kentucky. And it's going to open on July the 7th. And you can go there and tour that and walk. It would be a good thing for a youth group to do, and even adults. But you can go there and see that. Well, they have a sign over on the side of the highway. It says Creation Museum. It gives the distance there. And all these people over here on the left, they're atheists, and those pictures are saying, you can't do that. And they have all these images, Mickey Mouse, you see all these animals over here, because it appeals to whom?
Our children.
And if they can get that in the minds of our little children in school, guess what they're going to believe when they come out of school? Evolution's got to be true. Dinosaurs exist. And they belong to us, atheists. They don't belong to the Christian. And so here they are protesting, and they did this in the paper. They protested the fact that Ken Ham and his organization established a creation museum, and they put a dinosaur on the billboard. They said, you can't do that. Why not? I'm not an atheist because atheism denies science. Now, no. If their atheists were to be here today, they'd have a heart attack and be saved. They would probably run me out of the building. They would say, no, we don't. We're the people who believe in science, really? Well, the unfortunate thing for atheism is that the chromosome structure of human beings has now been fully identified. It was a 15-year project for them to do that, funded by the American government. They finished it about 12 years. And DNA is the code within living organisms that makes it reproduce after its own kind. It's like a little computer chip. Why do humans produce humans? Why do rats produce rats? Why do horses produce horses? Because of this code inside their genetic structure. It's not possible for a human being to give birth to an alligator. I lived on a farm. Let me tell you, if a farmer was raising pigs and he went out there one day and he had a pen full of horses, I believe he'd sell his farm to get out of it. A farmer is dependent upon each producing after its own kind.
Amen.
If he plants corn, he expects corn to come out of it.
That's right.
And so DNA itself shows that it's his fault. Well, the atheists then come along and say, well, but wait a minute, wait a minute. It may not have occurred down here on Earth, but what happened was some outside force brought living matter down here to Earth. By the way, I saw this being illustrated on a DVD, and they showed these little aliens flying in a spacecraft, and they came and landed down on Earth. There wasn't nothing here, just around. Wonder where that came from. Anyway, they had a pool, and it was pool full of acid, and it was steaming, and smoke coming off top of it. And he came out with this little radar gun, you know, and he shot a shot of that into the acid, and electrified that thing, and living organisms started crawling and moving inside this pool. They call it transpermia. You see the words? And they just transferred it from outer space, and it came down here somehow riding on a piece of rock, and landed on Earth, and that's where life came from, down here. You know what that does? It just moves the problem for Earth to Mars. How did it begin in Mars? And so the doctor, and by the way, that was just recently in their writings in science. Transferring. Atheism, in fact, denies science. Well, I said that a while ago, let me give you some proof. It says something came out of nothing, but that can't happen. It's not scientific. They never demonstrated that to be true. Animate things cannot come from inanimate. Can't happen. Living things do not come from non-living things. That's off biogenesis. Negative biogenesis. Animals cannot come from plants. Why is that not yet? Can't happen. It won't happen. The DNA code denies that it will happen. And birds cannot come. Why did I put that in there? Well, because in the evolutionary tale, they can't figure out really where birds came from. They think all the branches and everything else kind of lined out, but they don't know where birds came from. Well, where did they come from? On the front page of, I believe it was Newsweek, it's been 10, 12, 15 years ago now, they had a picture of dinosaur heads cracking open. And guess what was flying out of it? A bird. A bird came out of a dinosaur head. Human beings cannot come from animals. Can't happen. It's opposed to science. Can't demonstrate it, can't prove it, no evidence for it. It is just a theory, and it's a false theory, denying science. And there is no proof that aliens exist, and yet they believe in aliens. I wouldn't say that all evolutionists believe that. Stephen Hawking certainly does. There are other modern evolutionists who are saying that they do. Information cannot be added to the DNA code of plants and animals. If you were to lose your arm during your lifetime, and you have a child, the child's not going to be born without an arm. So changes in your human being, your human structure, is not going to be passed on to a child.
Amen.
The mother may be blind. Well, when a child is born, I mean, the child's going to be blind. It could be genetically transferred. But changes and the information have to occur at the DNA level, and therefore it is opposed to science. By the way, this was a shocking thing to me when I first started looking at it and reading, and that is atheism's relationship to free will. We're familiar with religious bodies that deny free will. But I was a bit surprised when I learned that scientists believe that you cannot make a choice in life. Huh? You cannot choose. They deny that you have free will. By the way, this is a book by Mark Twain. You should see the date probably right at the bottom. It's 1906. You'll remember Mark Twain, Samuel Clemens. In this book, which is over 100 years old now, 110, he has a young man talking to an old man. And this older man is answering questions from the younger man. The younger man is asking him about life, about what he believes, and about who is a man. And he said, oh, that's very simple. Man is like, he's like a machine. Say, like a train. And if you were to take a train apart, well, what is a train? Well, it has wheels, it has steel, it has doors, it has bolts and nuts and washers, rubber, grease. And so when you disassemble it and take it all apart and you put it down on the table and you investigate it, you make a list. You write down a piece of paper what a train is made of. And he says you do that with a human being. What is a man? We're just chopping him apart. Take his arm off, cut it out, look inside. What are you going to find? Muscle? Blood vessels? Bone? Bone marrow? Cut his head open. You're going to find a brain, blood vessels, nerve endings. And so a man is just made up of materials, physical materials. That's what the older man is telling the younger man. Does a train have free will? No. Does a car have free will? No, you got to have a driver. And so they conclude that man is nothing more than a car. Nothing more than a train. You know Charles Darwin? Remember the famous lawyer? He argued that a murderer or someone who committed assault, aggravated assault, or a thief who steals, if he didn't do that of his own accord, he didn't have free will. He's just composite of bone and tissue and muscle and blood vessels and nerve endings, and he's not responsible. Charles Darwin argued that all people in prisons ought to be let out. He said, when your car breaks down, you don't kick it, do you? You might if you're mad enough. But you don't take a gun and shoot your car because your car had a flat. He said, you just fix it. And your car has no free will, and human beings have no free will. Can you imagine that? I asked an atheist one time. I said, when did you choose to become an atheist? Because he said he was first to believe. I said, when did you choose to become an atheist? He said, I didn't. I said, yes, you did. How did you change from being an atheist, a believer, rather, to being an atheist? If you didn't choose it. He said environmental reasons. I said, no, I chose to be a Christian based upon the evidence. I chose it. He said, no, it's just an illusion. You don't choose it. I was shocked. I'm not an atheist because atheism does not believe in free will. And therefore, if you don't have free will, guess what? You're not responsible. Isn't that what we're teaching children in America today? No one's responsible. It's always someone else to blame. Darwin and free will. All prisoners should be released. Did you know that evolution promotes racism? If I had to ask, to have an opportunity to ask the Department of Education for the U.S. Department of Education a question, I'd ask them to do. Why is it that in our schools you teach evolution, and yet you believe that all of the students are equal? You say that. You tell people on television, radio, everybody in America is equal. You believe that as Christians, but everybody's equal. Doesn't matter if you're male or female, bond or free, Jew or Gentile, one race or another race. We're all equal, yes. Well then, sir, how do you teach evolution in the schools? Did you know that evolution is racist? the total title of The Origin of Species. Did you ever notice that they don't give you the full title? They shorten it, they truncate it. The Origin of Species, by means of natural selection, are the preservation of the favored races in the struggle for life. By the way, look at today. In the 1800s, you could write something like that. And I dare evolutionists and atheists to write that today. I dare them to write what Charles Darwin did. I think we just got cut off. I dare them to write that today. There's another book, The Descent of Man, in which he argues very openly and plainly that the lighter races are more evolved, high evolved, than the darker races. The argument. We don't believe that. God made of one blood of all nations men to dwell upon all the face of the earth. God is no respecter of persons. He made us all. Made us different. But he made us all alike. Same qualities, same essence of the divine nature and the human nature. I'm not a racist. I'm not an atheist because they teach evolution and evolution teaches racism. If you didn't know that, write it down. And ask your teachers in school, ask them in college, why do they teach evolution? And ask them, is it racist? That's a tough one for them. And they can't answer. Okay, we do have another one. Atheists have no hope. They say they have no fear. That may be true, but the problem is they have no hope. There are contradictions in atheism too. Look at these very briefly. They say that life overall has no meaning, but that small things in life have meaning. They say that your vocation, your occupation, may have meaning to you. But in the end, it doesn't have the meaning. Marriage, having a family, may have meaning to an atheist, but it's just temporary. It has no overarching, over long-term meaning, no eternal value to it. And so how can they argue that small things have meaning, and yet there's no overall meaning to life, no purpose to it? Atheism promotes science and intellectualism, but teaches that man has no freedom to choose. So you're not very intelligent after all. You can't even make your own decision. Can I decide to buy a truck instead of a car? Well, I do. Can I decide whether to go to this university or that university? I do. Someone says, no, you didn't. And I say, yes, I do. Are we that confused? Is it an illusion? Yeah, we think we're making free choices, but we're really not. That's a problem. They will not believe in God, but they believe in aliens who brought organisms down to earth. That's a strange one. It argues for science and evidence, but rejects the evidence of eyewitnesses. Why do we believe what we do? Because of evidence. I believe in the resurrection of the dead because people saw Jesus dead, beaten nearly to death, and then a spear up into his rib cage, and water and blood came out. What does that mean? That means that cavity around the heart to keep it moist as it pumps has water around it, and he burst that and burst into the heart, and water came out. I believe he does. By the way, we went around to break their legs to make sure they were dead. And they saw that Jesus was already dead and they just punctured him. He was dead. Put in the tomb. And people saw him alive after the death. Why do we believe in the resurrection today? Because there's proof. If there's no proof, we have no business believing. Why do we believe that Jesus Christ committed no sin? That's a strange thing to say. someone were to say, well, Merle's claiming he didn't commit any sin, and then they come throw and ask Norma. End of discussion. Can you imagine how bold it is for the writers of the Bible to say that Jesus didn't commit any sin? Why do we believe that? Well, first of all, because he wasn't just a human being. If he was just a human being, I would say, write it off. He committed sin. But he's the Son of God, born of a virgin, by the power of God. He's the Son of the living God. And there were eyewitnesses around. There were people who saw him, who ate with him, who lived with him. He lived for 30 plus years. 30 years. Amen. He was with those men, and later they wrote, like Peter did, that he did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He was tempted in all points, like as we, yet without sin, the Hebrew writer said. Those people were around him. Those who lived with him knew the facts. And they would have had no reason to go around saying that he committed no sin unless they observed that to be true.
Amen.
If he were just a man, he would have sinned. But he wasn't just a man. That's a powerful one. Eyewitnesses. That's why we believe. The claim that the Big Bang happened, spontaneous generation, evolution happened, but that it happened only once. Why doesn't it happen again? You see, I said on that picture of the animals and the man a while ago, what's on the other side of it? Why does evolution stop with us? Well, they actually claim it's going to keep going. Really? There's going to be greater beings after us. Where's the proof? Where's the evidence? Of all the historical documents we have of human beings produce little babies that look pretty much like us. And they act like us. And they do wrong like we do. They're human beings. Are they somehow going to become superhumans? Not likely. I've never seen it. There's nothing on the other side except in eternity. Atheism claims that they've given us sufficient answers to my question, but they say that our hope lies outside our planet. That we must find life out there. That's what they say. But Christians believe that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. I like to say that we ought not to have any shame or reluctance and stating what we believe.
Amen. Amen.
We ought not ever to be ashamed that you believe in God. It's the most rational thing to do. It's the most scientific thing to do. You have evidence for what you believe. If you don't have evidence for it, you shouldn't believe. The ones who ought to be reluctant and ashamed are those who say God does not exist. They're the ones who will have to give an answer to it.
Amen.
There's no logic, no rationale behind it. There's no reason, no evidence that they can give. The heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows the same thing. The day and the day utter speech, night and night shows not. And there is no speech, nor language, where their voice is not heard. If you haven't obeyed the gospel to become a Christian, we urge you to do so today. While we stand, let's sing together.